What up, Clips? It's you dudes, the impeccable, the improbable, the unforgivable, William the Opinion Updike.
And positive Chuck Mockler?
I don't know. I'm trying something different. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's Thursday. That means our Thirsty Thursday segments where we talk about who and what should be getting more playing time. We've also got a game preview of tonight's action against the Blazers. It's gonna be a tough one.
Oh, yeah.
Really worried about that. We got some key players out. We'll dive into all of that. And we've got a little bit of an NBA wrap-up. A lot of games last night. We probably won't be able to get into anything, but we'll talk about some key stuff. All that and more coming up for you right about now.
So we got this... Your intro's on point today. We got this game preview coming up. But first, guys, let's talk cars.
Cars? I don't have one.
Neither do I. But if I were to get one...
Where would you go?
I'd go to Metro Infinity.
Where is it?
They're right off the 210 in Monrovia, 821 East Central Avenue to be specific. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and have been in business for over 25 years.
Very impressive.
Truly impressive. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity, if you don't like going to a dealership, as some people might not want to do...
I don't even know how to get to Monrovia.
That's not even a problem. They'll bring your new car and the paperwork to your work or office so you can stunt on your coworkers while you buy a new car. Make sure to mention Locked On, and they'll give you another $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about a new Infiniti or just in the market for a new car in general, try and give them a chance to get your business. You will not regret it.
Seriously, guys, check them out.
They have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinitis. You can find them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. So, big game tonight.
Big game.
Start of a very tough three-game stretch for the Clips right
very
now.
Very tough three-game stretch inside of an already tough stretch.
14 games, yeah. So yeah. We got the Blazers tonight, the Bucks on Saturday, for tickets that are way too expensive for the Staples Center. Anyway, we'll get into that tomorrow. And then Golden State.
Yeah.
So this feels like, or I should say felt like the most winnable one out of these three.
Yeah.
Until some recent news that came out like a couple minutes ago. Tobias Harris was sick, did not participate at shoot-around. So we're going to be without Lou Kumbamute, Avery Bradley, and most likely, I would assume, if he's not at shoot-around, Tobias Harris.
Yeah, Clipper bug biting early.
Nice. Clipper bug. I like that. So Shea's probably going to start, which is great. I mean, Jerome might get more playing time.
Yeah.
We got some interesting stuff. So we're going to start off with what we need to do to win, which is going to be a whole hell of a lot of defending.
It is going to be a very tough game. Yeah. But, I mean, luckily, I think that... You know, so much of their offense is driven by two dudes.
Yeah. CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, for those of you who for some reason wouldn't know that.
Yeah. Haven't watched basketball.
Yeah, bro. Could be some new listeners.
No, totally. So with that, like you don't have to cover as many guys. You know, I think if we can lock in on defense and the man to man stuff and like really just defend out on the perimeter,
for sure,
it's gonna give us a good shot.
This is definitely a plus matchup for Boban, who's probably gonna get the start tonight.
Oh yeah.
Against Nurk. Nurk is a little more of a traditional center, and Boban can guard those guys a lot easier than like a Cat or an Embiid, obviously, as we saw the past couple of
years.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're not seeing Nurk like, I mean, he can...
He's good.
He's good, and he can like shoot a little bit, but he's not stretching the floor to three. He's like a 14% three-point shooter.
Yeah, which is, I believe, 7% higher than Sam Decker when he played for the Clippers. So rebounding is going to be huge. I think this is where Boban really has to assert himself early, which he was kind of weirdly tentative in that Magic matchup.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can kind of feast early. Trez, so there's some interesting lineup situations. The starting lineup could possibly be Patrick Beverley.
Okay.
Shea.
Okay.
Gallo at the three.
All right.
Trez at the four.
Okay.
Boban.
I love it.
That could possibly be the starting lineup. Or Mike Scott plays the four, maybe he starts or something like that. But it's definitely, if Trez and Boban are on the floor together, they got to eat up those boards.
Yeah, yeah, rebounds are going to be very important. They are a better rebounding team than us. We've slipped a little bit defensively. I think that they're ranked better than us.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense is... I mean,
they're playing great.
Clearly better.
They're actually top 10 in offensive boards.
Yeah.
Which is kind of troubling.
I think they're more, I think, aren't they in like the top five?
Maybe.
I think they're pretty high up there.
I'm going to pretend it's top 10 so I can feel a little better about the game tonight.
But yeah, it's definitely going to be difficult. I think another key is just going to be better ball movement and playmaking.
We need that so bad with Tobias out tonight if he's going to be out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Moving the ball around is going to be very important, which I think this starting unit with Shea thrown in there, I wrote in the notes, this is so stupid, but that their offense feels a little bit more offensive. Like, it just feels
in
like...
In a good way?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were like, I'm offended by
this. No. I just mean that, like, at any point, it feels like... I think I've said this before, but it feels like if you've got your head up, Shea's going to find the pass.
For sure.
So I think that in that way, it feels like a little bit more well-balanced mm-hmm. or dangerous.
I'm into that.
But, yeah, we have passed more, like we're slightly above the Blazers in passing,
yeah,
in the rankings. And their defense, while it is pretty good, from what I've watched so far, which is mostly highlights and stuff, it seems like it kind of crumbles when, like, in the pick and roll, like when people have to start switching. So I think that, like, yeah, that ball movement and playmaking is going to be such a big deal.
Yeah, Lou is really going to have to show up tonight too.
Which, oh, yeah.
I don't think he's not going to at all, but I think this could be a night where maybe Lou shows out.
This is like a
prime Lou game.
This is a textbook Lou game.
Lou could go for 35 tonight.
Gonna see a lot of, you know, falling left, shooting right.
Oh, yeah, and it's gonna go in. We gotta lock in on defensive assignments. We can't really switch a ton.
We just don't, we're not really that kind of team.
And Bradley's out, so that's one of our top defenders.
Yeah, and Luke is out. We don't really have the luxury of, like, doubling up on anyone who's hot just because we can't cover enough ground.
Especially if Boban's out there.
Yeah.
It's just a little too slow if they're doing PNRs with the 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
So what could go wrong?
A lot could go wrong.
Tonight.
I think the biggest thing that could go wrong is that this could turn into a firefight, and we could see that stuff where the team gets kind of nervous and we try to rush things in transition and we make a lot of really terrible turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have a margin of error of, for our team, let's say 3 turnovers against this squad. You can have maybe 3 more turnovers that they have and still hope to stay in this game.
Yeah, okay. I'd maybe put it at 5, but that's not that many more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can agree with that. The team effort on defense, if it's not there really early, that's going to set a tone that is not the fighting tone that I think we want, which is why I kind of hope Trez starts.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be out there, and if Trez is starting, he's going to be jacked.
Yeah, and if they can't come out there with energy for all 4 quarters, like we've seen, you know, we've seen the
team times in the
go,
past.
I believe I've used the term limp before a little bit in the second half. That's, you know, it's not going to fly.
Yeah. Key matchups. Bench versus bench. Our bench is better.
I don't know. It's a little close.
I think our bench is better. I think if Mike Scott is playing like he was in the past couple of games, it's going to be... that's where the game might be won by us.
I like the two-way ability and a little bit more of the versatility of our bench than theirs, but they got some scorers, man.
Yeah, they do.
And they got some quality vets.
They do have a little bit, maybe a few more scorers. Lou will, for me, puts us a little bit higher just because he can get so
definitely
hot.
Definitely.
But defensively, the bench versus bench is going to be... I hope we see some more effort from Mike Scott and stuff like that.
I mean, I think he's been great.
Not that he's a bad defender, but tonight he's really going to have to step it up.
Yeah.
Which I hope doesn't tire him out too much so he can hit those sweet, sweet 3-point shots. Key matchup, another one I got. This is off the top of my head. Jerome versus the world. I think we're going to see a lot of Jerome tonight.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully this is a game where people are like, oh, damn, okay, I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see why they took him with this pick.
Definitely. I think our depleted forwards versus theirs is going to be a key matchup.
Mm-hmm.
We ranked the forwards over the offseason, and Portland is kind of low.
Bad.
In terms of forwards, they rely really heavily on that backcourt, and, you know, Nurk obviously has a lot of key plays and like is a definite fulcrum of the offense. But without Tobias, you know, that gets a little bit iffier.
Yeah.
We are definitely the bigger team and the faster team in terms of pace.
Yeah.
So
you're saying maybe punish him down low a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Sprint down there. Just get those elbows into it.
Definitely.
We're going to go into this in our second lineup. We can tease this a little bit right now. Can that 3-guard lineup of Shea, Lou, Milos, and Scott and Harrell keep us in the game over a large span of time? Do you think so?
I don't know. I mean, they're currently the second most used lineup, and they have a plus minus of 28 per 100 possessions,
damn,
which is really solid.
Life is good today, as they say in the
but
Brown Band
they've
song.
Played an average of about 4 minutes per game.
Hey, man.
And today...
We love small sample sizes.
Oh, I mean, what could go wrong? And today I would guess it'll be 4 times that.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say a full quarter at least,
yeah,
if not more. So predictions, what do you got?
This is the only time I've predicted a loss, and I hate to do it. But I'm really nervous to not have Tobias out there on the floor.
Agreed.
I'm really nervous to not have Luke.
Agreed.
Or Bradley.
Agreed.
So I think we're looking at 120 to 106 Blazers.
You wrote 120 to 106 Clippers.
That's what I want it to be.
I'm going to say, in my heart of hearts, there was a really great tweet I got today that said, my heart says the Clippers, but my pocketbook says the Blazers. Yeah. So I think I'm gonna be near your score. I'm going to say, 118 to 110. I think it's going to be kind of close, but I think it might turn into a firefight at the end, and they're at home, which gives them the edge.
Definitely.
Tweet us your predictions. Guys, coming up after this ad, we're going to be talking about Thirsty Thursdays, what we want to see more of. So we just kind of mentioned this.
Yeah.
For what we want to see more of. Milos and Trez on the floor together.
Definitely.
Trez is so good for Milos's game.
Yeah.
I think it makes him look, he's a phenomenal passer. I think it makes him look like an even better passer.
Definitely.
And I have a note in here that I want to get your thoughts on. Is Trez the easiest person to play with on the Clippers? If you're another person on the court.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean? Like, just because...
Like, he and Mike Scott have this great connection. He and Milos seem to have this great connection. He makes very smart, basic basketball plays with cuts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it seems like everyone can play well with him.
Yeah. And he has a pretty good touch. He's a pretty good finisher.
Yeah. I hope Mike Scott... I think that Milos, Trez, Mike Scott lineup, if they have a big game, that's what I'm thirsty for tonight.
Yeah.
Seeing those guys out there.
So, I got one for you.
Let's hear it.
I want to see a combination of Mike Scott, Gallo, and Trez on the floor at the 3, 4, and 5.
Dude, that's a big 3, 4, and 5, but I like it.
It's a big lineup. They have played all of 0 minutes together. So
that's the smallest sample size.
It's something worth trying. But I think that it has like a lot of versatility inside, shooting and playmaking from both Mike Scott and Gallo. And then Trez just brings that intensity. He's tough down low. Great rebounder. I think that it's like an interesting matchup, and then whatever guards you want to toss in. If you want to go more offensive.
Beverly Shea would be nice with that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to go, yeah, for a defensive lineup.
Yeah,
I guess,
for sure.
And then an offensive lineup, I would say Shea and Lou.
Ooh, dude. Shea, Lou, Mike Scott, Gallo, and Trez. I would love to see that tonight.
That's a big lineup.
I would be thirsty for that. Do you think, this seems like one of those games, Doc has been pretty... I don't want to say inconsistent because I think that has a negative connotation with it, mm-hmm. but he's been a little more experimental with his lineups. Like, they seem to kind of switch, like certain lineups you're like, oh, I don't know, they were going to close the game out today, but I guess they are and it worked.
Yeah.
Tonight might be one of those games.
Definitely.
And I hope we see something like this lineup.
And I have something that I don't know if I'm necessarily thirsty for, but before we move away from that,
yeah.
One more thing I would like to see is Sindarius.
Dude, I want to see that too. If I don't know how long Avery Bradley's going to be out, they say that he's going to maybe come back for the game on Saturday. God, I hope he does because the Bucks are really good.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, get Sindarius.
Also, I mean, there's no need to rush him. It's still early in the season.
For sure.
We're on a very hard stretch of games.
And we're on the tail end of the hard stretch.
We really are, yeah. We have weathered the majority of the storm. I've said since the season was announced that if we came out of this 14-game stretch at 500, we would have, overachieved most of my, wild
fantasies. For sure. Which I think by Monday it'll be, if we can get a win here and then we drop the next two games, which is entirely possible.
Mm.
I think some listeners may be going to start realizing we're maybe on the pessimistic / rational side most of the time.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible we're going to be 7-8 on Tuesday after the Warriors game.
You think we drop back-to-back at home? Because the Warriors and Bucks are both at home, correct?
Yes, they are. I think we might. I mean, the Warriors, I would love to get a win against them.
Yeah.
But rationally, realistically, that's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
The Bucks is a winnable game for sure,
mm-hmm.
depending on who's healthy. But tonight, I think, before this Tobias news, was our best shot to get a dub out of these three games.
Interesting.
Because if we win this game, we go to 7-4.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we drop those next two, we're, 7-6, which is 500 after those 13 games.
Totally.
But yeah, I'm really thirsty for a win specifically tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, though.
No. Something I'm not necessarily thirsty for, but I think that we will be seeing more of is a lineup with Shea, Jerome Robinson, Ty Wallace, Mike Scott, and Boban.
Oh, I'm thirsty for that. Now that you just mentioned it, I'd have a drink.
They've played all of 10 minutes together over the season.
We love this sample size.
But they're plus 9.6 per 100 possessions, which is, you know,
nothing to shake your fist at.
No, nothing. And I don't know. Do you think this lineup will be a necessity with how limited our backups kind of are right now?
I think, yeah, absolutely. I think any lineup that we've mentioned is just like, sure. Like, if we're getting maybe blitzed a little early, like if Lillard or McCollum get really hot, then I think Doc is going to be reaching into his bag of tricks and is just like, whatever. Like, let's try something out.
Definitely.
The Tobias illness really bums me out because it seems like a new thing. Like, it seems like something that maybe wasn't happening yesterday.
Yeah.
And so now Doc is going to have to be like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Day of the game. I'm not saying that he's not prepared for this at all. But
oh,
it's just,
but it's not the same as like making a game plan and like
2 days
practice.
Before yeah. as opposed to a day.
Yeah.
I would love to see that lineup. Man, that's a really interesting lineup, actually.
Yeah.
There's some good shooting. You know what would be cool too is Shai Lu. Oh, no, wait. Shai, Jerome, Lu, Scott, Boban.
Yeah.
That gives a lot more shooting. You can space it out. Boban can get those boards.
Yeah.
That we're
going to
need against this top 10. Offensive team.
No, I like that tossing Lou in there.
Lou,
how many minutes does Lou have to play tonight? 36?
Oof.
Like basically all but a quarter?
Honestly, yeah. If he's hot, just leave him in.
Yeah.
Like if he's hot, like I don't care. We got until, you know, they got a day off on Friday. Rest up. No. That game on Saturday is a 12:30 game, which is kind of, it's not a back to back, obviously, because we have a break on Friday, but that makes it kind of hard with that day of travel in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would say Lou needs to play 36.
How many minutes does Shai play over 30?
No, I think Doc would maybe keep him at like 20, 25.
Yeah?
Actually, no. I think you're right. I think over 30.
I just think he has to.
Yeah, because I was just thinking in my head, I'm not sure who else I'd want to play. I mean, Beverly's going to play a ton. He has to. Beverly might be out there the whole game to guard one of those. If Lillard or McCollum is in, Beverly should be on the floor no matter what.
Yeah.
Who do you want Beverly to guard?
I guess McCollum?
Yeah, he seems like he's maybe the hottest right now.
Yeah.
Between the two.
Actually, I don't know.
It's a tough matchup.
I mean, I think just switch those guys just depending on how that defensive assignment is working, because I think
Shea's long, so I'm okay with him being on McCollum for sure.
Yeah, and Shai has the size advantage, I mean, over Dame for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, Beverly just plays that, like, that irritating kind of...
100%. It's the same defense I play when I play. You're pulling shirts. You're,
yeah.
like, you're
and I think
chippy,
that,
but you're not a dickhead.
I think that, like, that can really alter the rhythm for a guy like Dame. I mean, hopefully.
Yeah, let's hope so. I feel... This is kind of a low-energy game preview, because I think we're just both a little worried about what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very
tepid. Tobias news was a huge bummer.
Yeah, the Tobias news. I was feeling super good, and then I saw the tweet, and I was like, huh, all right, great. That's all we got for what we're thirsty for. We're especially thirsty for a victory. Oh, really quick, how many minutes does Boban play? How many do you think he needs to play? And Gortat, do you think Gortat plays tonight?
We'll probably see Gortat.
Because I think Gortat against Nurkic, I'm okay with that matchup.
Yeah.
That feels a little more not as terrible for us.
We'll probably see some Gortat. I would guess, if I was like a betting man, I'd put Boban at probably 12 or maybe less.
Oh, I was thinking like 15 or 20.
Interesting. I don't think it'll be that much.
Hmm. I kind of hope it's not.
Fouls have been trouble too.
That's the thing with Nurk too. He gets into foul trouble. If we can kind of get him agitated early and he's trying to deal with Boban, if we feed Boban early, that could get him, you know, if he gets by 3 fouls before half, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
If we can get to halftime within 6 points with Nurk with 3 or more fouls, I would consider that prime position going into the second half.
Definitely.
Guys, coming up after this ad, we're going to do a really quick NBA wrap-up because it felt like there were 30 games last night. So it's coming up right after this.
So the Thunder beat the Cavs, which is, you know, what a surprise.
Oh, man, truly. I have a note on here. I think I have this note about the Bulls, but I have this note about the Cavs, too. The Cavs are a get-your-mind-right team.
Yeah.
If you're a decent team and you're not doing well, get your mind right and play the Cavs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Thunder have been doing better lately.
Yeah.
Is Westbrook still out?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That ankle roll looked brutal.
God, it really did. Schroeder had 28-7, which you don't really expect to see. You'd think they would rely more on PG. with Westbrook out, I should say.
Yeah, yeah, you would. I think, though, it's like a benefit of Schroeder is that he's like a similar model point guard as Westbrook is.
It's like diet Westbrook.
Yeah, so like you can kind of toss him in the system and, mm-hmm. you know, he's going for the rim and stuff like that, grabbing boards. Paul George had a cool 18-7.
Yeah, it's pretty chill. Adams had 13 rebounds. Colin Sexton spearheaded the Cavs team effort, leading the team with 15. Man, that's sad. Tristan Thompson had 10 and 15 boards.
So should we talk about Colin Sexton for 1 second?
Because, for sure, absolutely. So we don't got to run through all these games.
There's some stuff coming out about Colin Sexton lately. Are you familiar?
Yeah, like the veterans think he's bad at basketball or something like that.
Well, yeah, and it's not just that, but like he's apparently unwilling to listen like to anything. Oh. I guess that...
Young Bull.
Yeah, I guess that George Hill was like, hey, you know, anytime, if you'd like I'd love to like show you some moves on defense or like help you out a little bit. And he said, nah.
I love stories like that. That's like when Steve Nash, I think top three in free throw percentage of all time, offered to help Dwight Howard when they played for the Lakers, and Dwight Howard just said no. He's like, nah, dude, why would I learn from you?
Yeah.
I think, well, Colin Sexton, like, he's still young, so I guess I can chalk some of it up to that, but it's like, man, you were the eighth pick. You're part of the team. Like, you're here for this dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Maybe try and get better.
Definitely.
He's a young guy, but still, that's not good. I mean, good for George Hill.
Yeah.
But
no, and I guess other vets like have had similar experiences. Ugh. And I mean, we've talked about it. We can obviously only speculate because we're not on the inside. But apparently part of the reason that Ty Lue was fired was he wasn't playing the young guys what they deemed to be enough.
Which I guess I kind of see. Office. I don't think you should fire someone for that. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He was just doing his best to like
win games.
Yeah, I was definitely guilty of thinking that the Cavs could possibly sneak into the 8 spot still.
Yeah, they'd be a little better than they are now.
But yeah, not going to happen.
That's probably not going to happen. The Heat took down the Spurs in a game where Hassan Whiteside clearly cared to be there that night. He had 29 points, 20 boards, and 9 blocks, which set a franchise record.
Wow.
He had 8 in the first half. That was the franchise record for blocks and a half. Wayne Ellington had 20 points. Spurs couldn't get really anything going. Patty Mills led the team with 20. No one could really score on Hassan.
Yeah, that makes sense. DeMar had almost a triple-double in this game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he was like 2 assists shy.
Damn.
But yeah, still not enough.
Weird loss for the Spurs.
Yeah, my Pels, they're getting back on track against the Bulls.
Got their mind right.
107-98, another get-your-mind-right team.
Zach LaVine is having, this has to be his best year, right?
I have mixed on this. So, like, offensively, like, it all looks
pretty
good.
Oh, that's all I'm talking about, yeah.
He's leading the league in turnovers.
Woo!
He's also leading the league in missed shots.
Woo!
So he's taking a lot of shots.
Gotta take them to make them.
I guess that's true. But in a make-or-missed league, he's missing.
Yeah, he's missing. Wendell Carter Jr. had 17 and 10. He's having a really good rookie year.
Yeah.
Jabari Parker played awful defense, ended with 20 and 13 points. AD with a truly pedestrian 32, 15, and 7.
Seems like he's finally like fully back in form.
Dude, he's so damn good.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted that they can't wait to see AD come to the Clippers, and I almost had to turn my computer off because I'm at work, and that's a not safe for work tweet. Mirotic had 9 and 15. Jrue Holiday rounded out the effort with 17, 10, and 9.
He's been great too.
Ideal stat line, I think, for the Pels for these three guys. You want Jrue kind of near that triple double.
Mirotic, I think he could be more scoring
points,
more.
But, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Grizzlies took down the Nuggets.
What'd I tell you?
Is your philosophy coming true?
Not for real.
They're fake. Gary Harris led the Nuggets with 20. Jokic had 4, 4, and 7. Yikes.
Yeah, he didn't even get a whole lot of shots up.
Yeah. There were actually 2 Mama Grizz for the Memphis Grizzlies tonight.
That's leading scorers for the Grizz.
Yeah. Jarrett Jackson Jr. and Marc Gasol both had 20 points. Gasol also had 12 boards. Kyle Anderson had 14. No one else over 6 points.
Yeah.
But a win's a win.
That's fair. So I've noticed, and it seems like kind of the foil for Denver is teams with like versatile bigger guys. Like
yeah.
If you can shoot from the outside and you're like still strong and athletic, it seems like they really struggle.
Yeah, you pull Jokic out there and force him to defend on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Like a one-on-one situation.
Yeah, and it doesn't really bode well for them, which luckily, like, the Western Conference, I feel like, is so much more small-oriented that it's, like, not as big of an issue
for sure.
As it would be. I mean, I feel like so many more of the, like, athletic, versatile bigs are in the East.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that could be, I mean, that's going to be a problem for them. Obviously, their win over the Pels was AD-less. So.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think when they played the Pels, they didn't have AD. So, I mean, the prophecy could be coming true.
Yeah, we'll see.
Did you write this next note?
Yeah.
All right, why don't you go ahead and tell these listeners?
Jazz about. Scattered all over the maps. 117-102. Doncic still had a great game, 24-6.
Goddamn.
DeAndre Jordan with 11-12. DSJ with a, you know, a child's 10.
child's 10. I saw really someone, there was a Mavs insider fan who posted a clip of DeAndre Jordan just not caring on defense last night for a lot of possessions. And it was like, yeah, man, you're going to get this sometimes.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't pay him $23 million.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't care sometimes. Donovan Mitchell led the Jazz with 23-5-7. We kind of thought he'd have a bit of a sophomore slump. We were wrong about it.
I definitely did. I was wrong.
We were kind of right about Dennis Smith Jr., though.
Yeah.
He's having a bit of a rough year. Gobert had 17-10. I feel like every time we talk about the Jazz, Gobert has 15-plus, 10-plus.
Yeah, I mean, he'll always be a double-double. It seems like Jazz are kind of getting their stuff kind of figured back out.
Yeah. I want to say they're getting their funk back.
Hey.
Thank you. We'll cover this one real quick just because it was the Lakers. The Lakers washed the Timberwolves 114-110. I guess Tyson Chandler was the missing piece.
I guess
Tyson
man.
Chandler goes with Andre Robertson, guys, where I go, that's the missing piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is how specialized the NBA is now.
Yeah.
D Rose had 31 points, which Tibbs, I think his only goal this year is to get D Rose to either win most improved player or sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
Why
What's
is
the locker
leading?
Room chemistry like between Wiggins, Kat, and Derrick Rose, who is now apparently the de facto number one option for the Timberwolves?
I don't think D Rose talks to anyone.
That's
Jimmy
fair.
Butler. I think it's just like, I'm here to play my game. It's
yeah.
like, well, you can do that, but not be a dick about it. It's like,
no.
Fine, I get. No, I'm a player. Butler had 24, Kat with 13-9, LeBron with 24, 10-9, Kuzma with 21, Ingram with 20, Josh Hart with 21.
That's great.
On 7 shots.
Wow.
Yeah, he came in. I watched a little bit of this game. He came in and hit 3 threes immediately. Rondo had 10 assists. Tyson Chandler with 9 rebounds. This seems like the ideal victory for the Lakers play-wise.
Yeah.
You get Rondo just assisting. Tyson Chandler, he's so damn good at rebounding.
Oh, yeah. Still got it.
Suns fans probably kind of upset that they were like, hey, where was this effort when you played for us?
Yeah.
They gave him options to leave, and he was like, no, I want to stay. And just still didn't play. Tonight, guys, tune into the clips. Hopefully getting that victory over the Blazers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We're both predicting a loss. We hope we're wrong.
Oh, I would love to be proven wrong.
Tomorrow, we're going to recap what is a hopeful victory against the Blazers, a preview of the Bucks versus Clippers, Pacific Division power rankings, and then Love, Mary, Leave. In light of what happened in Thousand Oaks, I think we should change it to Love, Mary, Leave.
Forever?
Maybe forever.
I'll think about it.
We'll think about it. Anyway, guys, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike.
We'll see you tomorrow.